Hey, Carol.
What?
You ready?
Yeah.
Hit it.
The following presentation is for mature audiences only.
It is not intended for children.
The oversensitive or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
I only had gas once.
This project is extremely dangerous.
She lies, man. She lies. I have rooms with her at Tom. She lies.
The Guardians of the Geekery podcast.
You start.
Featuring Matt Starnslord.
Yes.
Carol the Cat.
Hi.
The Kitty Geeker.
I do not lie.
Tiffany the Technician.
Guten Tag.
We presume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first. The hosts of Guardians of the Geeker.
Shut up. Shoot first, ask questions later.
Woo! Episode 56. Six. Wanda has stayed. She slept over to be on the next taping. Wearing the same clothes. We really appreciate the commitment. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, boss, for letting her miss.
Yeah.
And Field appreciates the company.
I've been committed before. It's not a first.
Wanda, you're here from just one call, which is part of the Charlotte Mecklenburg County Social Services Division.
That's right.
But you were telling us off the air, it really isn't just one call. How many calls did you take last year?
Well, my supervisor says we took over 40,000 calls last year.
And just to recap again, for those who didn't listen to episode 55, what the hell is wrong with you? Tell us again what services Just One Call typically provides.
We provide information and referral services, so folks call us and ask us questions about finding resources in the human services community, and then also we're intake for our Services for Adults department with Department of Social Services.
So if you are in need of assistance and you are over the age of 18 and unable to provide for yourself or to provide for a loved one in that situation, give Just One Call, and just to be extra, extra helpful, tell us that number again.
It's 704-432-1111.
Carol, did you hear that? It's 704-432-1111. Because it's just one call with lots of ones in it.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Wanda, for being here. But, you know, aside from your social services hat, you also wear some other hats. You are a big World of Warcraft fan, correct?
I like World of Warcraft, yes.
You've been playing for several years. And you're also quite a Rennie. I've seen you at the Renaissance Festival quite a few times.
Yeah, a few times. Yeah.
What are some of your other geekdoms?
My guild from World of Warcraft, we have expanded out into other games. So we have our guild also has been playing Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. And we played a little Rift and a little Guild Wars too. So
I play Rift. Oh, I played Rift on Sunday.
That's fun.
And I'm in the underwater section.
Yep.
I don't get into any of those because I know my life would go away. It would all become sitting in front of a computer screen.
I make rules with myself. Like, the next city that I discover, I'm going to have to, like, rest and log out.
I make those rules, too, with standard video games. I'm just going to beat one Mega Man boss, but 3 hours later, yeah, that ain't happening.
I went through that phase, though, where I actually played The Sims Online.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. We played that, too.
And when I played that, back in the old day, in 2003, 2004, I remember putting a stapler on the enter key just to make sure that my person did not time out while I went and took a shower and, you know, bought groceries and stuff like that. Oh, that's crazy. But we were one of the highest rated houses in The Sims Online, and that meant that you got the most money for the day, each day. And those simoleons, you know, they didn't buy you really anything worthwhile, but man, you gotta have them. So, sorry, bang the table. So, speaking of things that are worthwhile.
Yeah.
We're finding nothing on the list that's worthwhile.
There's lots of stuff in the list. Oh, cool. You put this on here. Yes.
What?
So, if you go to the Guardians of the Geekery page on Facebook right now, pause this podcast and log on to Facebook and search for Guardians of the Geekery.
We all know you're just staring at your smartphones while you're listening anyway.
Yep. And you'll see on there that there is a post about my friend AJ Schrader, who we know from Mon Frere.
Right.
Very funny guy. He also does Unstoppable Failure, which is his comedy act. And he goes around to a lot of college campuses, etc. And he's performed in the past at the Geek Gala. So he is a special one. There's a rumor he might he's even special. Perform this year, oh. depending on his schedule. But... yeah, in 2016. It's always this year in my mind. So, but he is in a Doritos commercial. He and a friend of his created a commercial or acted in a commercial, and it's a semi-finalist for the Super Bowl. So Ooh. Please go on there and rate it. It's not difficult. You click on the link. When it comes up, you'll see the ad. You can watch the ad if you haven't watched it before. And then underneath it, there's 5 stars, and you just go ahead and click on the right star, and that will tell it that you want 5 stars rating, and maybe help him go to the semifinals. And if you don't believe me, go ahead and watch the commercial. It's pretty funny. So thank you for putting that on there, Starnes Lord.
Absolutely. So again, the directions, you click on the video.
Right. And you click on the link.
You watch. Oh, the link, right. You watch it.
Watch the video. It's the only one that's going to pop up, and then hit the little stars. Underneath, and you want to hit the right star so you give it the maximum amount of stars.
So it's 5-star review,
five stars.
Right?
A la derecha. Go all the way to the right, my friends.
Yay!
So, yay!
Speaking of Heaven Sent Doritos, Doctor Who had an episode called Heaven Sent.
Yeah, it was really kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I like it when Doctor Who thinks outside of the box.
Yes.
And this was kind of an outside of the box episode.
It was especially because he was outside the TARDIS.
Yeah. And it was only Peter Capaldi and this
monster
thing that followed him around a bit, but you never really
saw it.
Yeah. So this was kind of old school Who.
I loved it.
Yeah, I really liked it. There are a couple quibbles. You watch it a second time and you wonder why the wall didn't rebuild itself when everything else rebuilt itself, but I don't care. I like the idea of the Doctor spending billions of years punching out a diamond wall. So I really liked it.
Spoiler alert. So, no, I thought it was an awesome episode.
That wasn't even a big spoiler.
And I have to say that, you know, I realized that there were some episodes this season which I could have done without, but overall, I really liked the direction of the Doctor this season.
Yeah, and I really like Peter Capaldi. I think he's
Do you who, Wanda?
A little.
Okay.
I haven't gotten caught up, I'm afraid.
Oh, that's okay. Spoiler alert, Diamond Wall.
Okay.
So, is this the last episode of the season?
No.
There's one
more. It's this Saturday. Well,
and then the Christmas special after that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
The Husbands of River Song. I don't know why she burst into the Charlie Brown Christmas
today. Okay, Walking Dead.
Why do I love you?
I watched it.
Why do I like this show?
I watched it.
Why do I like this show? It just makes me angry, but I watch it every week.
So this is like the second episode I've ever seen. And
wow.
Who are these people? Why do I care?
This is why we have tipples on the show.
And all I kept thinking was like when the zombies got through the wall, mm-hmm. is like, why were they like dilly-dallying? Like, getting into the houses. Like, you fuckers can run, walk so much faster than the zombies can. Why are you like, oh shit, I'm almost caught. It's like,
well,
come on, run.
One of them has to get caught and get bitten. Which, you know.
Which
spoiler
occurred.
Alert.
Well, we don't have to say who it was.
Sorry,
but.
Ouch.
But... They once again, after several episodes, remember that covering themselves with zombie guts hides them from the zombies. And I read an online review and kind of made a point is, wouldn't at this point people be selling zombie guts covered clothing just to, you know, wear everywhere?
If you wore a zombie gut poncho, you could take it off and on as needed and just wear it around.
That's what they made.
Yeah, it was basically zombie gut ponchos and then hid Judith underneath.
I remember when, you know, I was thinking about back when Rick and Glenn first did that.
Which was like then. episode two.
And wasn't it like, they put it all over their hair and face a little bit too?
A little bit too.
I mean, not in their eye sockets.
And when Carol went ballistic and killed everyone in Terminus, she also covered her face.
Right.
So here, they're kind of, they don't want to mess up.
It's just a poncho.
They didn't commit very well.
No.
Because I kept thinking, like, wouldn't you really need to cover yourself? Like,
that's a lot of zombies. That's a lot of zombies in that concentrated space. And then, of course, you know, stupid little Sam's like,
that little fucker. Obviously, I don't know those kids or anybody, but I'm like, what is with her kids? That lady's kids. Like, it was the older son that caused the zombies to get in the house.
Well, Rick killed her dad.
And they saw it.
Whatever.
And then the other little creepy kid. I mean, she told him to turn off the music, but he didn't.
Seriously, Tiny Tim? Come on.
Yeah.
That's enough to give you
pause.
It
was a creepy kid, and we haven't really got to know him either, so it's like, I mean, not that I wish any ill will to kids, but...
Fictional children can die.
If you're going to talk during the zombie parade, when you're trying to be quiet, you probably should
I think everybody's pretty clear. Like,
yeah.
You don't want to get eat, you don't get...
Mommy!
But that wasn't even the worst part of the show. The worst part of the show was the flippin' wolf guy with the three little inch knife on the neck of the doctor. And he's like, throw me your weapons. And three trained sharpshooters, like, throw them, or throw their weapons on the ground. I'm like, shoot him in the head!
Yeah.
Shoot him in the head! You are crack shots at 50 yards.
And you have a W etched in your forehead, so that's a perfect target.
Perfect target.
You just aim right between the lines.
He needs some teeth bleach, that dude.
And then,
for real.
And then he bends down and picks up all the webs. I'm like, kick him in the ass. Just push him over.
Again, that's just one call, social work.
You might need that after listening to our episode today.
4-3-2-1-1-1-1.
Then the doctor just follows him out of the house. I'm like, you just want to go with him.
And I still don't know what he was... I mean, I know that guy doesn't really care, that the whole W Wolf folks don't really care, but it's like, what's your plan against zombies?
I don't know.
You have, what, just some gun? I mean, you're not going to get very far. It's like,
well, no, he's obviously not going to get very far because Carol's going to wake up and kill his ass, but...
Yeah. I just hope he doesn't push the doctor into the zombie
throws
to try to get away, because
it was that whole bit there with Morgan the wolf and Carol and the throw me your weapons because I have this teensy tiny little knife.
Yeah,
that was just ridiculous.
And I will say, people in real life don't get knocked out
quite that easily
with like a hit. I mean, sometimes yes, but I mean, unfortunately, I've been hit sometimes, even by accident, and it's like, I wish I could pass out. I really do.
It actually takes quite a bit to knock somebody out.
Yeah. So,
it's like getting hit with your car.
That would knock you out, yeah.
I hope.
This week, for those of you who don't know, I work in staffing, and this week one of our contractors called and said, hi, I'm in the hospital. Evidently, I was hit by a car. And we were like, what? She's like, I was walking across the parking lot, and I turned and saw some headlights, and I woke up, and I'm here in the hospital. Mm, wow. It seemed to be okay, but evidently it knocked me out.
Yes. Wow. That will happen.
Or the end of Kindergarten Cop. Not so tough without your car, are ya?
So, that was the walking
bit. It's a tumor.
Oh my goodness.
That was The Walking Dead. You got
to. What is the point of the wolves? Like, why are they trying to get rid of the other people? Like,
because they're evil people. That's the problem with The Walking Dead.
Have they thought out the end game? I mean,
no.
No.
With the wolves case, definitely not. I mean, they have some coherence, but they just seem to be bent on disrupting any sort of human habitation. So
they had attacked. So they had attacked the fortress, Alexandria, the fortress, before the zombies came. Like, the same day, right?
Oh, so that's when they walked through Virginia but didn't hit North Carolina.
That's when the church thing fell over?
It was right after that.
Oh.
Rick came back, and then the church, the steeple fell over.
But that's because of the wolves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they run a truck into the...
Semi into it.
Into the wall, so yeah.
So, yeah.
I really like that neighborhood.
I mean, it's a very nice neighborhood. Very nice house.
There's very nice wood floors in that one house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Apparently no air conditioning, though, because 5 seconds into that zombie walk, everybody was sweating up a storm. So
it's Georgia. They film in Georgia.
And then you got a brief 2-minute little preview of the next episode, which is airing in March or April or something.
Where February 14th or something.
Really? Where they introduce
Happy
Negan.
Valentine's Day.
Wait, what apparently I've been pronouncing his name wrong.
I thought the same thing.
I thought it was Negan, but apparently it's Negan. So we'll get to
Megan.
Negan.
I'm just kidding.
Well, it's weird. It's weird when you like you read comic books though. Like forever, my friend and I had a debate. I mean, since like age like 7 or 8, that Magneto. My friend thought it was Magneto, and we would fight. But it was before the cartoons and all that. You said the comic books. There's no like nobody ever says. And then there wasn't a Marvel.com where you could look it up and it has it. You know, hyphen. You know.
Yeah.
You don't have a pronunciation. You don't know. And so it was like you had all these, and then all of a sudden the movies come out or the cartoons, and you're like, oh, I've just been saying it like for 12 damn years.
No matter how many times I read The Hobbit, you never know whether it's Bofur or Bopper.
Right.
Kiwi or Killy. You know, you're just reading a word. So.
I remember I was reading a book and I dropped, like, the binding was gone, so, like, one of the sections fell out of the book.
Oh.
And my teacher called out and said, who's missing some pages from their book? And I'm, do-do-do-do-do. It's about a girl named Phoebe. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Oh, Joey, weren't you reading a book like this? No, not me. I'm reading a book about a girl named Phoebe.
Oh, dear.
This is last year?
Third grade was not last year, but thanks for trying. Alrighty. Scream Queens.
So I watched the Thanksgiving episode.
Yes, were you thankful?
No, really. I thought it was rather boring.
Yes.
Here's the thing. I watch a lot of anime, and anime usually comes in 13 or 26 episodes. And if it's 26 episodes, inevitably episode 13 is the let's rehash everything that happened up to episode 13 episode. So people will... And it's Japan, so usually they're in a hot tub doing this. They'll all get in a hot tub and they'll rehash the story so far. And that was what...
Would
that
be accurate?
I think so, because yes.
And that's what this felt like. It felt like episode 13 of some anime where they're all getting around a table and rehashing what's happened up to the story so far.
Yeah, I do have to say that the first part with Jamie Lee Curtis... attacking, was that episode? Or was it
that was a couple previous episodes where she was attacked in the shower.
Yeah,
that was a couple episodes ago.
That was the episode before.
Yeah, this is the one where they actually sit down at Thanksgiving.
Yes,
Hester shows up alive and goes to the Radwells.
Yes,
and Alan Thicke is his dad.
I watched a little of that, and the thing that cracked
Alan
me
Thicke
up
was pretty funny though. And what was the mom's? Oh, it was Julia Duffy.
Yes.
I love Julia Duffy.
And the worst game of Pictionary ever.
Yes.
Wasn't Julia Duffy Pat? It's Pat?
No.
Yeah.
That's Julia Sweeney.
Oh, Sweeney. Okay.
Oh.
Julia Duffy is the one that... she was... Oh, if you want to go really back far, she was in the Newhart show.
Oh, wow.
She played the blonde ditzy one in the hotel going... that never wanted to do anything. Any work. Or she also was... She's one of those people that comes in and whenever you need a little snitty little kind of person, she's like your Dolores Umbridge of regular TV.
Only she doesn't torture children.
No, she does sometimes.
Oh, okay.
So in Reba, she tortured children that wanted to graduate pregnant. So
yeah, that was just kind of a rehash episode for me, and it was okay.
So is next week the last episode?
No, two more episodes.
Mm. And you'll catch up, hopefully.
Now it's at that point where at the end of every episode, it's like, just 4 episodes left!
Yeah, and
just three episodes left!
I think the only interesting thing that happened this episode, and spoiler alert, Gigi's dead, so.
Yeah.
Because they served her head for Thanksgiving.
Which is kind of clever. Gigi was one of the
90s girl.
The 90s mom type girl. The thing that made it interesting about that is that we knew Nick Jonas was something.
Mm-hmm.
They killed him off. We knew Gigi was part of it.
They killed her off. So now the only one left is the one we don't know. And it's obviously not Chad because he was in the Hamptons for Thanksgiving.
Right.
And it wasn't Hester. Chad. And it wasn't Chanel.
It could be Hester because Hester showed up late.
But how'd she get the head?
What if it's Denise Hemphill?
That could very well be.
How great would that be? I love her.
The wagger.
I love Denise. She's the best part of that show besides Chad.
I do love me some Chad.
Chad is fantastic.
He's just such an asshole.
I kind of think it's Chanel number 5.
Chanel, okay. Abigail.
Yeah, because she and Zayday were the only two that came back, and you weren't sure. Like, they both checked on the turkey at different times.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay, so Scream Queens ending in 2 weeks, or this season is ending in 2 weeks. I'm curious.
Right before Gallivant.
No. I'm curious.
Which we're not watching.
Nope.
Season 2.
Not watching.
But will you be watching Star Wars Rebels? Do you watch Star Wars Rebels?
Here's the thing. So it was renewed for a third season, Star Wars Rebels animated show. I have never watched an episode of that.
It's not bad.
But I would like to watch it. So yeah.
I liked Clone Wars.
I haven't watched all of it, but I've watched parts of it. Have you ever watched it, Wanda?
I actually watch very little TV. It's a shame.
No, it's not.
It is terrible.
No, I watch far too much of it.
I did not watch the Star Wars Super trailer. I've come to that point in the story where I'm afraid to watch too much because I really like it when it's surprised.
I'm not watching it.
And I'm not really happy with some of these crossover commercials either, where they may or may not be giving away spoiler details.
See, I don't watch a lot of network TV, so I don't see the commercials.
I fast forward as many as I can. But
the worst one I've seen is the Verizon one with Chewbacca and BB-8.
Yeah.
Now, I did buy the Star Wars makeup.
Did you? And what do you think?
It's CoverGirl, so I didn't buy the eyeshadow because CoverGirl eyeshadow just kills my eyes. The mascara is nice. They have, I like the dark side colors. The light side colors are all gold and metallic, and that is just so not me. So I bought nail polish and some lipstick and the mascara. And I mean, I won't buy the mascara again from CoverGirl because I'll go back to my my manic panic, but yeah, the nail polish and the lipsticks I do like. So.
Oh, cool. And then what do you want to talk about next, Tiffles?
I saw the trailer for Revenant, and that looks amazing.
Cool. Tell us about where Leonardo DiCaprio gets screwed by a bear.
Attacked by a bear?
Raped
Don't
by
talk
a bear?
Shit about my Leonardo. Okay.
It's got Tom Hardy in it. I'll go see it.
I did see something. Oh, I saw, last week I saw The Night Before.
Oh. And you saw The Hunger Games, right?
I did, and I'm going to see it.
I don't blame you.
And,
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Okay, that one feels bad that I didn't see that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely has its parts that are, like, really fun.
It has its parts.
Yeah, and the three guys together is pretty fun. They've got good chemistry, but like Michael Shannon shows up as like a weed dealer named Mr. Green that's sort of like that's sort of like the, you know, like the Ghost of Christmas Past Future sort of type deal, kind of, and it's like, and there's like weird cameos, like Miley Cyrus shows up at one point, and
I really think what should have happened is after this is the end, all those guys should have been in a plane together and had a horrible crash. And then that way they end on their best movie they've ever done. They're infamous and it's done. I know.
I'll say that.
It's a
again,
dark
that's
Christmas
just
gift.
One call. 704-432-1111.
Oh. I'll call it after.
So did you see what Michael Shannon wore to the premiere of Just
no.
He wore a hideous Christmas sweater. Nice. Michael Shannon.
Well, that's kind of a theme of the movie.
Zod.
Yeah.
Who played Zod in that Superman thing.
the remake, not the original, right?
Yeah. Anyway, he was also in Boardwalk Empire. Very serious actress.
Actor.
Sorry, Michael.
So we should probably tell you now that this is Carol's second cup of coffee this evening, and she had three pieces of leftover pie, including key lime from Jim Ryan. Yes, that
Damn.
Jim Ryan.
Damn, I'm not that much of a fake. Anyway,
he's
a very serious actor, plays very serious roles, and he showed up at the premiere with this hideous Christmas sweater that had the sticker still on it that says, I light up.
Oh my god!
And every picture he posts where he just had the scowl on his face.
That's kind of how he is in the movie. He's like, hey man, it's good to see you. And it's like, he's so fucking intense. Wow. Like, like the world's going to end, but they're like trying to buy weed. It's just such a weird.
And he was also very funny on At Midnight, because he was on At Midnight with Seth Rogen.
Oh, wow.
And he was, and again, did not crack a smile.
She's funny.
He's got the intense thing down.
Yeah, he does.
Speaking of Superman, there's a new Batman versus Superman trailer. It's not very long, but it's footage we have not seen before. Do you want me to spoil it?
Sure, go ahead. That one I don't care.
Do they fight?
No. So
they make pie.
Batman, is there a Robin?
Batman is wearing like a brown camo jacket. It's kind of weird. And all these other people. And his hands, I'm doing gestures here that you can see on an audio podcast. His hands are tied above him, and so are like four or five other kind of soldier-like guys. And they're in a bunker, and Superman like flies down, levitates down into the bunker, comes up to Batman, just scowls at him, rips off his cowl, and it's Ben Affleck. And Ben Affleck actually looks scared. So, I mean, it is crazy. I don't know what... That's not from the comic book. So they've made a change somewhere.
So let's talk about what's important. How good did Henry Cavill look when he levitated down on a scale from 1 to 10?
It's a good 8.9 levitation, yeah.
It's not good enough.
Tiffany
did
has
they
an
focus on his ass for any length of time?
It was a front shot. Yeah.
Did they focus on his dick for any length of time?
Is that what you wrote on your paper?
That's fancy right in there. Tiffany's out of control. She took a very... What was the name of the class?
Hand lettering.
Hand lettering?
And while the rest of us are doodling on our topic sheet...
She's creating...
She is writing Mr. and Mrs. Henry Cavill. Mr. and Mrs. Henry Cavill.
We'll get a picture of that for the...
Tiffles Cavill.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So, Quentin Tarantino's Hateful Eight. Is this the one with Adam Sandler?
No.
No, that's completely different.
What was that one with Adam Sandler? It was something.
Ridiculous Seven.
Crazy
or something.
Nice. Ridiculous Six. No, the Ridiculous
it's
Six.
A new,
oh. It's a new
Netflix only movie.
So let's go to the Adam Sandler bit, and then we'll go back to Quentin. Okay.
Okay.
So we saw on the TV the other night that Adam Sandler has actually done a 4-movie deal with Netflix, and one of them is called The Ridiculous Six, and it's a cowboy movie, and there is a little bit of controversy on it because evidently part of the filming they actually had some Indians walk off the set because they felt Native American Indians because they felt offended. And Adam said, no, we were trying to tell a cowboy story, and so there will be cowboys and there will be Native American Indians. We tried to make it as funny as possible, but we didn't try to be racist in any way. So, anyway, interesting, but if you want to check it out, you should go to Netflix to check it out. But before it goes to Netflix, Quentin Tarantino's Hateful Eight is coming out.
I kept reading that as Hateful Fight, and I was like, what other kind of fight are you going to have?
We don't talk about Fight Club on the podcast.
That's right. Yeah, so Kurt Russell was, interviewed about it, and he said he's seen it 3 times, and it's a 3-hour movie. It has an overture and an intermission. And I think we've talked about, Carolyn and I were talking about this earlier, we wish we could go back and podcast where we think we've said that and like just replay and have a little, go to the clip and play the audio clip.
We talked about
liking intermissions and missing those.
Yeah.
And,
I miss intermissions because I get the big gulp, I want to pee, but I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah.
And the last movie I saw that actually had an intermission was Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, but that was 4 hours and 15 minutes and you kind of needed one.
Is that the one with Ethan Hawke?
I don't think that had anything on
it. No. Benedict Cumberbatch.
I loved all those. Kenneth Branagh, Shakespeare.
Kenneth Branagh Hamlet came out in the early mid-90s? It was
mid-90s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He and Emma Thompson, and they went through and did them all, and then they broke up, and now we don't have
actually, this one was after they broke up, because it has Helena Bonham Carter in it, because he ditched Emma Thompson for Helena Bonham Carter. What an idiot.
Yeah, really. Yes. Bellatrix Lestrange, whatever.
And then she ditched him for Tim Burton.
Yeah. Mm.
And now they're broken up, too.
Yeah.
Also.
Oh, Hollywood.
Oh, speaking of Hollywood and people with ups and downs, Carrie Fisher, you got news for us?
She's still bitter somehow about whatever?
From the Edge.
Is this the one where they asked her to lose weight for the role?
Yes.
And what?
in Star Wars.
And what did she say?
Well, obviously she did, because she lost weight for the role.
She lost weight
yes.
for it, yeah. She was just saying how she was, a Good Housekeeping magazine. Yes, Good Housing, Good Housekeeping magazine. Find it at your grocer's checkout line. But no,
that would be good.
Yeah, and she was just relating her first Star Wars movie with George Lucas, and then Return of the Jedi when she did get in that Slave Leia bikini costume. Thank God she did that though. To this movie where again she, you know, she plays her own age, and they told her to lose like a third of her body weight.
I will have to say this. Given the nature of Star Wars, it's a physical world. It's not like, you know, Princess Leia would be sitting on a couch watching soap operas and eating bonbons all day. Yeah, and Carrie Fisher went through a whole lot of drug and alcohol abuse, so it added some pounds to her. I can see why they would say, okay, we're going to need you to just shape up a little bit, because you're going to be in a very physical film.
All I know is that, you know,
I don't know if Harrison Ford had to lose weight.
I don't think he ever put on weight.
And I want to know if Mark Hamill had to lose weight.
Mark Hamill did have to. If you watch him in The Flash and you see him for the promos for Star Wars, he dropped probably a good 25, 30 pounds.
Yeah.
I just sort of have this, like, vibe about her. Like, I don't follow Star Wars news. Like, I've not seen all the movies. I am excited to see the movie coming out. But she just, like, strikes me as this, like, very bitter woman. Like, she's just very negative things about everything. And it's like, and it's kind of like...
You know, she wrote Postcards from the Edge.
Yeah.
And that was basically on her life. She did not have a very happy childhood.
Yeah. But it's like you're part of, the, like, this franchise that you were really, you got really famous from, that may or may not have been the greatest experience, you know, is back, and it's including you. You're not excluded, you know, kind of thing. I just sort of feel like... It's this happy thing, like, I get to be part of this reimagined universe. That should be a good thing. And instead it's like, I feel like every time I'm hearing, like, these negative... I mean, don't get me wrong, if I went to work tomorrow and they were like, look, to keep your job, you're going to have to lose weight, obviously I would feel a way about that. But sort of feel like, as an actor, part of your job is your appearance. Especially if you have to be believable... in the sort of function you're performing in the role.
I mean, nobody ever told Porkins to lose weight because he was flipping Porkins for Pete's
When your name is Porkins.
Yes. I remember when Carrie Fisher was at Dragon Con a couple years ago, and I can't remember if I saw it in person or if I was watching it on Dragon Con TV, but she was in the Hyatt smoking.
It was a vape. It was a vape, but vapes are now illegal in the hotel. And
nevertheless, she set off the fire alarm, and she just sat there like, what? Smoke, 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 puff, 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 as you can't see me putting my fingers to my lips. And she just sat there like, why is the alarm going off? And I don't care if it's me, but it was pretty funny. So,
it's a horrible thing for Hollywood actresses to have to maintain this completely
unrealistic
body image. But that being said, seeing her in the trailer, she looked good. It's not like she was really rail thin.
No.
So
rabbit trail, because I was thinking about this the other day. On the other hand, if an actor or an actress becomes, or a personality becomes famous while they're heavy, when they decide to go ahead and lose the weight on their own, oftentimes they don't seem to succeed as well.
That's true.
In the industry. It's like Hollywood wants you to stay whatever size you are.
When they first discovered you.
Yeah, we were talking about Rerun from What's Happening the other day. And, you know, he... But when he became thin-er... He didn't seem to be able to get any other work. And then there was somebody else we were talking about. But it was just like, all of a sudden, they tried to become thin. They become haggard looking. And then And it's like, even when we were watching Thanksgiving and people were seeing Al Roker, people thought, you know, he looked better when he was heavier.
Going back to Doctor Who, I don't know if anyone saw the Peter Jackson Peter Jackson did a little skit thing with his daughter and Peter Capaldi and a Dalek, because he will apparently be directing an episode next season.
Oh, yay!
Peter Jackson was always one of those guys, because he lost a great deal of weight in between Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, and he put a bit of it back on for The Hobbit. I always felt he looked better, a little bit tubbier. He looks much better now than he did when he first started The Hobbit, where I thought he looked just really frail.
Right.
So I think it's a perception thing. But, I mean, not even weight. If you go back to some of the actresses, Jennifer Grey is a really good example. When Jennifer Grey hit it big in the 80s, she was, like, everywhere. And then she got a nose job. And nobody flippin' recognized her after that, and she couldn't get work.
Yeah, she was even on a sitcom where she played Jennifer Grey.
Yeah.
She played herself on a sitcom. And I was like, who is that?
Was she as good as Gene Van Der Beek when he played himself on a sitcom?
No. Well, Gene...
Nobody can beat the Beak. Mm.
Not at all.
But it was that same kind of idea. And it was just, you know...
Although I do think
Matt Lawrence is doing a pretty good job of playing himself.
Oh, I've never watched that. But I was going to say, I think it's even just like, if you meet somebody... Like, if Matt went by Matthew and... You know, you met him as Matthew. If he was all of a sudden like, oh, start calling me Matt, you'd be like, I don't like that. You're Matthew.
Yeah, no, my brother.
Kind of a thing.
My family still won't call me Joey.
Right.
I've been Joey since 1988.
Right. And if you told me now, because I know you as Joey, if you told me to start using your real name, I'd be like, that's weird.
And yet my mom goes by Bobby.
Yeah, my brother's name is Robert, and to us, he's Robert. He's always been Robert, but he goes by Bob. It's like, no, you're Robert.
I have a friend, Robbie, and, you know, growing up, he was Robbie. Now he's an adult. He's like, I mean, I don't think Robbie's an appropriate name for an adult, but I'm
that's a Robbie Coltrane name.
Whatever, Robbie.
So, funny. We went on a tirade there.
I know. What do you think about that, Wanda?
I think I've never had a nickname, so I got nothing to go by, I'm afraid. But you'll always be Joey no matter what.
Thank you.
So they're making a Predator 4?
I don't even know about this, but
why?
They wrote the script and they're not releasing any details about it. So I was like, why? I was just curious why this was news, and I thought I'd put it on here.
Okay, so they're considering Predators to be Predator 3.
Yes.
And they're excluding the Alien versus Predator series.
Yeah, that's kind of its own thing, I guess. So,
as a side trail, is the Predator going to be Goatman?
It could be.
What the fuck is Goatman?
So it's weird. I think it was about 4 months ago. I saw something. I didn't pay attention to it. And I was like, "What is this Goatman sighting?" And then they started showing some pictures, and it's obviously a really good Photoshop. It's at night, and you know how your eyes will be kind of glowing if you catch a person or an animal or whatever. Tiffles is distracting me with a fancy calligraphy that says "Hi, Matt." So it was weird. So it came back last week, and now there's all these stories, like multiple sightings in different states, and then they're tracing it back to the Hellfire Club, which I automatically think the X-Men. But it was actually based on a real club of people like obsessed with
Sebastian's.
Emma Frost. And I mean, woo. But I guess it's based on a real club that they were obsessed with a cult, and supposedly in their recorded documents, they used to play cards with a goat man like figure that would, and they would
man.
Play they would play for human souls.
You kept cards tucked in his clothes.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, but it's very odd, and apparently the goat man will. All the Goatman wants is food and sex, and he doesn't care if you are male or female.
Well, he's not a picker or a chooser, man. Yeah.
And as we all know from scary movies, they always go after the couples making out, having
sex.
That's
right. So yeah. He'll take you both.
So Goatman,
the switch hitter.
Goatman. Yeah.
In other news, and in really good news, Samurai Jack is returning to the TV.
Woohoo! Adult Swim, thank you for doing this for us.
Yeah, my only sadness is that Mako is gone, so the voice of Aku will be different.
I'm not watching it now.
Dang it.
Forget it.
I like Samurai Jack.
It's good.
Okay.
It's won 4 Emmys as well.
It has?
Yes. Oh, I forgot to put this on here, but Mystery Science Theater 3000 added Patton Oswalt
as TV son of TV's Frank.
And they showed him with, like, the wig. And
so
it
now I
awesome.
Have to watch.
Yeah, we're stuck now. We have to
watch. Yeah, with Felicia Day as Dr. Clayton Forrester's daughter, Zynga, they're calling her.
I never heard that name.
Kinga.
That's great.
Kinga. And now Patton Oswalt as TV's son of TV's Frank. TV's son of TV's Frank.
Yes.
Hard to say. So.
But fun.
Yeah. So I'll have to watch it now. It still won't be the same, but I'll watch it.
He's great. Patton Oswalt's always
like
great.
I like Patton Oswalt.
Yeah. He really is.
I like him on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. New episode yesterday, but we didn't watch it. Why? Oh, I fell asleep.
It's not your fault.
That's why.
So, we're wrapping it up here.
We are wrapping it up. I think we are... Kadongadong. You said you went to Hunger Games, though.
No,
right?
I did. I saw the Hunger Games. Yeah,
Tiffles, you went to Hunger Games?
Right, yeah.
Mockingjay Part 2, which should have really just been Hunger Games Mockingjay, because they didn't need to split this
Marky
up.
Jay?
Marky Jay. That's Marky Mark's new band.
That was close. That's
They could have made this one film. This one drug a little bit.
Unlike the Five Armies, which went really fast.
They should have.
Oh.
Mormon Lurth is always good. this one, no, even I will say Desolation of Smog drug. This one was just, I don't know. It was there. It was okay. The performances were good.
Jennifer Lawrence was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Donald
I want to see this new Jennifer Lawrence film that has nothing to do with the geekery, which is Joy.
I want to see that too.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a date.
All right.
We gotta start watching those Oscar films.
You gotta get us a list.
I know. Well, they're not nominated yet, but there's gonna be. I have to do an online search and see.
Okay.
What is
do an online search and see? Would you?
What is probably gonna be nominated? I have seen Mr. Holmes, so I think that one's gonna be nominated.
Yeah, we need to do that. All right, we will talk about the Oscars and more next week.
All right, but we won't be talking about Walking Dead.
No. Oh my gosh.
Thank God.
Am I pushing the button, Frank?
Yes, push the button, Frank.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information,
thanks, Wanda.
Thank you, Ms. Jones.
Find us on Facebook.
That's just one call.
Facebook.com/Guardians of the Geekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jax Pilstock. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.